So our new series, the 10-10 Experience, from John chapter 10, verse 10. Notice what it says. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So kids, who's speaking here in this verse? Take a guess. Who's speaking in this verse? Jesus is speaking. And I thought this is a great verse for actions. Notice what it says, the thief. And how does a thief usually come in? Do they walk in the front door? No, they usually come in where you kept your air conditioner, in the window. Yeah. Or they come in through the garage door. Or they come in through a ladder you kept beside the back window, and they climb up and they go in the open window. And so the thief comes only to steal. And he's talking about sheep in this context, a thief who's going to steal sheep. And the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But notice the words of Jesus, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly or fully. And so let's read this together. Let's do it together, and then kids, away you go, and then we're going to pray. So John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So let's pray. Father, this morning we just want to thank you. Thank you for our children. Thank you for our kids' classes. We thank you for those who teach them faithfully each and every week. Thank you that they teach the Word of God. Thank you that they teach about Jesus who rose from the dead, died upon a cross, and wants to be our Savior. And so thank you that our children get to hear every week that Jesus loves them and died for them. Lord, for us now, may as we open up our Bibles, may we not just open up our Bibles, may we also open up our hearts to you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. All right, children, away you go, off to your class. Adults, take your Bibles, please. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to John chapter 10. The 10-10 experience from John chapter 10. The whole purpose of this series is to help us to appreciate what it means to be in Christ. What does it mean to have new life in Jesus? The other purpose of this is that we might come to understand how we can talk to others about Jesus Christ in a culture that does not want God in their lives. And so let me begin by reading to you a story of a company called Correct Craft. The company's name is Correct Craft. Correct Craft is a U.S.-based builder of power boats, primarily for water skiing and wakeboarding. It was founded in 1925 by Walt C. Maloon as the Florida Variety Boat Company. Here's what's interesting. Walt C. Maloon created the Florida Variety Boat Company in 1925. During the early days, the company built a variety of craft ranging from sailboats to powerboats to raceboats. By 1936, their primary focus was the construction of powerboats, and the company name was officially changed to Correct Craft. Even during the Great Depression, the company continued to grow. But what makes this company interesting is that during the Korean War, Correct Craft was awarded a government bid to build 3,000 boats for the military, and they geared up to fill the order. However, an inspector demanded a bribe before he would approve the boats to be used by the U.S. military. The owners, who were Christians, could not in good conscience do this. So more than 600 of the 3,000 boats were rejected, and the company was forced into bankruptcy. Because they were believers and men of their word, and I have to say that, just being a believer doesn't mean you're always a person of your word, but because they were men of their word, the Maloon family did not view bankruptcy as a release from their obligations. They started the slow process of rebuilding the company and paying back every single debt that they owed. It took them 20 years to repay their debts. However, because of their commitment to stand behind their word, they were able to repay each and every creditor in full, And during the 1940s and 1950s, they continued to see incredible growth. And so this Florida company, founded by a believer, was founded on the simple notion that a good name is to be more desired than riches. How do we apply that to the Christian life? I believe that Jesus Christ in John chapter 10, verse 10, when Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 10, that he came that we might have life and have it abundantly, Jesus Christ wants us to understand that even in hardship, if we are faithful to God, if we are faithful to his word, he will always be faithful to us. And he will give us opportunities to share our faith and to demonstrate that if we're Christians, Christ is ruling our lives. And so this morning, what I want us to do is I want us to go to John chapter 10. Open your Bible to John chapter 10, verse 10. Let me turn there. John chapter 10. I want us to work through the first 15 verses of John chapter 10. But here's what I want to say this morning. All around us are people who need to understand the value of having a relationship with Jesus. But do we understand? We call ourselves Christians. We say we've accepted Christ. But do we understand the value of having a relationship with Jesus? Even in difficulty, even in hardship, do we understand? We struggle. All around us, people are struggling to find purpose in life. And they do not realize that Jesus came to give us a life that is meaningful and full. Do we understand our purpose in life? Do we understand why God created us? Do we understand that God has made you specifically to fulfill a specific purpose of bringing glory to him and sharing his name around the world? Many people today will say that they don't need faith. But they will readily admit that something is missing or that they would like more out of life. And what we need to tell people, what I'm here to say every Sunday, what we need to hear from this pulpit is that a relationship with Jesus brings true fulfillment in life. But true fulfillment, true purpose, does not always mean you're going to be rich, doesn't always mean you're going to be healthy, doesn't always mean that everything will be just perfect. But when you have purpose, then there is purpose in hardship. When your life has meaning, then there's a meaning in why you go through difficulty. When you are driven into bankruptcy by someone who is corrupt, God has a purpose, and God will work with you if you stay true to him. And so, John chapter 10, Psalm 23 was written long before Jesus spoke the words of John 10. How does Psalm 23 verse 1 begin? The Lord is my shepherd. So now listen to John chapter 10. Listen to Jesus read, Jesus speak the words of John chapter 10. Verse 1, John chapter 10, have your Bibles open, follow along. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. And so here's what you have to picture. Out in remote areas, there would be a shepherd, and a shepherd would have his flock, and he would love his flock. He would care for them. They would know his name. He would have such a tender relationship with these sheep that the wounded ones he would often hold in his arms. If he needed to, he would carry the younger ones. He would put a lamb on his shoulders in the horrendous heat. The shepherd loved his sheep. But naturally, if you have something, probably at some point somebody else wants it. And so at night, in order to protect the sheep from wolves, out in the desert regions, they would take stones and they would build a sheepfold. And it would be a large stone area. And the stones, they didn't have to be very high, just high enough for the sheep to stay penned up. But this circular area, or sometimes it was maybe rectangular, it was made out of stone, but there would be an opening where the sheep could come in and out. And what's interesting is that that opening did not have a door. And what the shepherd would do is after all the sheep were in for the evening, once he was sure everything was safe and secure, the shepherd himself would become the door. He would lie across the entryway. And by lying across the entryway, nothing could come in, nothing could go out without him knowing it. And so understand, keep in your mind this picture of Jesus as the shepherd. We are the sheep. Jesus is protecting us. He is the door. And now listen, he says that he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, in other words, he climbs over the stone fence, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. And so if he had other men that were helping him, then that man would be there, and if the shepherd wanted to go in to see the sheep, well, come on in. But notice what he says here. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before. And so out in the middle of the desert, perhaps it was possible that there would be two shepherds, two flocks of sheep. They would both be in that confined area. But when the one shepherd said, okay, it's time to go, all of his sheep knew his voice and they would leave. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Now notice the explanation in verse 6. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. We understand. Jesus is the shepherd. We are the sheep. We need to follow him. When we have an intimate relationship with him, then we hear his, we read his word. We hear him speak to us through the Holy Spirit. But they did not understand. So again, verse 7, Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. In other words, if Jesus is your shepherd, if you are in intimate relationship with him, if you listen to his voice, you will be saved. And will go in and out and find pasture. Now comes verse 10. Here's the context. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Anything other than Jesus Christ is false. Any religion, any leader, anything other than salvation in Christ is not of God. It is a liar and a thief who comes only with the purpose of destruction. So the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And the whole context of that picture is of a shepherd protecting his sheep and saying, I've come as the good shepherd, the true shepherd, and I will look after you. I will protect you. Yes, there will be wolves. Yes, there will be thieves. But I will protect you, I will love you, I will lead you into good pasture, I will give you life to the full, life abundant. I am the good shepherd, verse 11 says. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Even when the thieves come, the shepherd is even willing to die to protect his sheep. Here, we're reminded that Jesus Christ willingly gave his life on a cross. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. This is the picture of leadership now, caring and loving, protecting. And then verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. That's our Savior. That's Jesus Christ. He died upon a cross. He cares for us. He loves us. He protects us. Even though we go through the valley of the shadow of death, Psalm 23 says, I know that he is where? With me. That's our God. And so how do we share this? This is what I want to talk about. How do we share this with other people? Do you understand that your purpose for living is to be in relationship with Jesus? Do you understand that your purpose in life is to tell other people about Jesus? What we want to do, the 10-10 experience, is all about understanding what it means to have purpose in life. What does it mean to live for God? What does it mean to understand that Jesus wants you to have abundant life? And so here's what we're going to do. John chapter 10, verse 10, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. John chapter 10, verse 1 to 15, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. I love the sheep. I want to have an intimate relationship with you, Jesus says. Now notice this. This is what we're going to focus on over the next few weeks. When Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly, what we want to learn is Jesus Christ came that you might have life now. But I'm already alive. Are you? A lot of people are breathing, but they're not living. Life now is what Jesus Christ offers in a relationship with him when our purpose is wrapped up in him. Life forever is what he gives us eternally. And we need to understand, what are people in our culture looking for? And I'm going to tell you that as I look at people today, you say to people, would you like to have life forever? Would you like to have eternal life? People say, well, no, not really on my radar. But when you talk about their life right now, they realize, you know what? I'm looking for love in all the wrong places. And so here's how we want to do this. Life now. Notice how it progresses. Today we're talking about life, the John 10:10 experience. Jesus came that you might have life. Do you have life in Christ? Have you accepted him as your Savior? Have you experienced the forgiveness and life-transforming power of Jesus? Then we'll talk about us. Next week, what we're going to talk about is this whole idea of what keeps us from having a relationship with God. And then we'll work through life now. Then we'll talk about life forever. We'll talk about God's grace. We'll talk about how faith in Christ gives us that hope, that security of eternal life. But for right now, here's what we want to do. Abundant life. What is abundant life? What is life to the full? It's life with purpose. It's life with meaning. It's more than possessions. In fact, write this down. Abundant life, life to the full. Is life eternal life? Is life now? Is life with purpose? Is it a perspective? So write this down. Is life a perspective or a position? Is life how you view what's going on? Or is life all about always being on top, always having the best, having a better job, having a promotion? Is life a perspective or a position? Is life an attitude or a circumstance? Is life an attitude where God is good, I trust God, peace is the calm assurance of God knowing, of me knowing that whatever God does is good? Is it an attitude, or is life a circumstance? I'm happy because I have. I'm happy because of a new car. I'm happy because of the house I live in. I'm happy because of this or that. Abundant life, life to the full, a perspective or a position? An attitude or a circumstance? I'm going to say that it's a perspective. It's an attitude. It's a choice that in Christ, I can do all things. Am I seeking the abundant life that Jesus offers? Here's how we want to wrap up this morning. Am I seeking the abundant life that Jesus offers? Am I seeking things Or am I seeking Jesus? Am I more intimate with Jesus today than I was yesterday? Am I spending time each and every day creating a more knowledgeable, intimate, personal, deep relationship with Him? Or am I searching for stuff? Question number two. Do I have a prayer list? If God has given me a purpose, and that purpose is to glorify Him and to share Him with others, how's your prayer life? Do you have a prayer list? And are there people on that prayer list other than you? And so here's my prayer list. I need this, I need this, I need this, I want this, I want this, I want this. Is that a God-focused or a me-focused prayer list? Pretty me-focused, isn't it? But what if your prayer list was, I want Jesus to shine in my life. I want to pray for this person and this person and this person. What happens when our prayer list begins to move away from me into what God wants to see happen around us? So two questions. Am I seeking the abundant life that Jesus offers? I can answer that question. Can you? Number two, do I have a prayer list? And what does that prayer list look like? Is it me-focused or is it God's purpose-focused? Let's keep going. What can we do for homework this week? This week's goal, if we're going to put abundant life into practice, this week's goal is simple. All I want you to do is to be something. And what's the word? Be a listener. Be a listener. In other words, I want us to go out, and if we're going to change the world for Christ, if we're going to offer to people the abundant life that Jesus offers, if we're going to offer life now, then we need to be listeners. We need to look for opportunities to ask someone that we've been praying for. Yes, we can talk to strangers. That's great. But I think there are people that God's brought into your life already that you need to start to pray for. And so here's what we want to do. Let me make sure that my notes line up with my screen. This week, look for opportunities to ask someone that you have been praying for. And this is all I want you to do. This week's goal, be a listener. Here's the question. How would you rate your life out of 10? It's a very simple question. You can fit it into conversation. I fit it into a conversation last night. We were out for dinner with a couple of wonderful believers. And I just said, you know, because I was practicing. But it's not just practicing. It's not just learning a sales pitch. It's beginning to pray that how can I share the greatest message in the world with people who need Christ? Or how can I encourage someone? But here's the question. Just fit it into your life. Sit down with someone at work over coffee. Just say, how would you rate your life out of 10? Isn't that a great question? It's funny, but I'm amazed. I'm amazed how many people you think are 10s reply that their life is really a what? A 5. A 4. And it's like, really? And I'm a fixer, so naturally I want to fix it, but because our goal this week is to be a what? A listener. Can you see how conversation just flows? What is offensive about asking someone, how would you rate your life out of 10? What's the universal symbol? Nothing. Isn't that the greatest question you can ask someone? Just how would you rate your life out of 10, and then listen. Let's keep going. What would it take for your life to be a 10? And then you have to. What's the goal for this week? You have to listen. It's funny. People sometimes, they, you know, self-talk, self-therapy is a wonderful thing because people say, well, you know, my life is a 5. And I think it would be a 10 if I had a better job. Oh, wait, I've changed jobs 3 times in the last 4 years. Well, I think my life would be better if I had a new car. I think, and people, you don't have to tell people. People can talk themselves into and out of things quite fine. But just what would it take for your life to be a 10? Let me ask you. How would you rate your life? How would you rate your life out of 10? Why did you choose that number? What would it take for your life to be a 10? Our goal is to be listeners if we're going to reach the world for Christ. And find out where people are at. Let me stick to my notes here. How would you rate your life out of 10? Why did you choose that number? What would it take for your life to be a 10? And now, here's the question that maybe you enter into this time, maybe next time. Maybe God just speaks to you and says, you know, hold off, just wait. Would it change in either direction if God were in your life? Obviously, you're talking to someone who perhaps isn't a believer. If God is already in their life, then you'll find out. But would it change if God were in your life? See, we live in a culture where we're bombarded with the natural answer in our culture to that question is my life is a 5, my life is a 6, my life is a 3. Well, if God were in your life, would it change in either direction? I think our culture wants people to naturally say what? Oh, it'd be a lot lower. But we're going to learn that when Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly, that the answer is really what? Jesus came to give us abundant life. So, pray that you will have an opportunity to talk to someone on your prayer list. Pray that you'll have an opportunity to talk to someone not on your prayer list. Be a listener. And next week, we're going to talk about what keeps us. This is going to just start to fill in now. What keeps us from having a relationship with God? Because you're going to find someone that says, you know, God's been speaking to me. I baptized a man 2 Fridays ago who came to me and said, God has been speaking to me. And he's told me I need Jesus in my life. And it's like, well, God, I'm not looking for anybody to witness to. Why'd you bring this guy to me? That just happens. And this man from Bulgaria came and poured out his heart and said, I need God. God's come and spoke to me. How do you argue with that? And we had the glory of baptizing him here at the church 2 Fridays ago. All because his life was not a 10. And he knew God needed to fix it. So what I want to do is I want to take us on a journey where, guess what? How can we share Christ with people? How can we fill this church with people who are looking for abundant life in Christ? How can we overcome our fear? How can we overcome that sales pitch approach to Christianity that I hate so much, and I think a lot of people hate so much? How do we just, well, the goal of this week, it's there in your sermon outline, be a listener. Look for opportunities just to say to someone, here's the question. How would you rate your life out of 10? That's all. Close your eyes, please. Let's bow for prayer. Father, this morning, my question to all of us this morning, how would you rate your life out of 10? Some of us are going through difficulty, and we need to realize that quite often we're hidden from the inner turmoil that many of us go through. We don't understand that coming here together as a family of believers, that coming here together in the name of Christ has such a powerful effect when we are welcoming, when we are loving, when we seek to affirm one another, that there are people perhaps here this morning who are discouraged and who need a fresh touch from you. And we need to be praying all through the service. We need to be praying that your Spirit would touch hearts and lives and encourage people to continue to live for you. And there may be people here this morning who who have never had God in their life, but they know they need you. They need Jesus Christ, and we need to not be obstacles to the gospel. Lord, help us as a church, I pray, to want to share the message of Christ. And Lord, help us to do it in a way that fits into our culture. People think they don't need God. People have been told that anything but God will make them happy. Lord, what do we do? Well, we humble ourselves and we become listeners and we watch your Spirit work and we simply pray for opportunities to share and to ask and to listen and to help. And so, Lord, right now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if your life is not a 10 right now, you need God's grace. If your life, if you've been going through struggles right now, I want to pray for you, and I want to pray that God would just work in your life, work in your heart, speak to you. And so right now, this morning, if you need prayer, could you just raise your hand, please? And we want to close off the service by praying for those around us. So just slip up your hand if you're in need of prayer this morning. Thank you for those three hands. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Lord, we live with people all around us who need prayer. We live with people who need encouragement, who need friendship, who need a listening ear. But first and foremost, we all need Jesus, and we need the grace that you offer. And so may our prayer right now be, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I need your grace to do this in my life. And you know the struggles that you're going through. You know what's happening. Parenting. Making it through the day at a job where we're not appreciated. Maybe a health concern. We all know what we're going through. But God also knows. And so, Father, help us, I pray, to live for you. May we realize that the abundant life begins by accepting Christ as our Savior. And right now, I just give the invitation. If anyone here this morning has never accepted Christ, why not today? Why not right now become a follower of Jesus Christ and give your life to him? Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you that you love us. Father, dismiss us now with your blessing. Thank you that we get to present our tithes and our offerings to you at the end of this service. Accept our gifts. Father, thank you for looking after our financial needs, and thank you for loving us. Lord, may we leave this place with a desire to be an encourager and to help those who are our brothers and sisters in Christ. But may we also go with a desire just to meet people who need Jesus. And may we be perhaps that one person that tells them the way to true life. So, Lord, thank you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.